When I came in this morning, I had a Bible verse that I thought I wanted to read. But actually, when the group were practicing the song, one of the verses of one of the songs that we're going to sing later just spoke to me. And I just want to start this morning just with a quiet moment. Because one of the songs we're going to sing right at the end today has got this. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You are the reason that I live. I believe in you. I belong to you. And you are the reason that I live. That verse then goes on to say, you're the reason that I sing, which is what we're going to do now. And we're going to start with build your kingdom here. And I really pray that in this opening set of songs, sing and really worship the Lord, because I believe in you, I belong to you, and it's the reason that I live. But we are going to start with build your kingdom here. Please stand if you're able to and join me.
Yeah.
Father, we've sung of being faithful. We've sung of you being a rock. We've sung out in worship to you, Lord. We are all here this morning with different weeks before us and different weeks ahead of us. We're all here with different things going on in our lives, Lord, yet you know each and every one of us. I pray, Lord, that you come this morning to meet with us. I thank you for the life of Jan Hale. I pray for her wider family, that you support them, guide them, and that they live on the faith of Jan in themselves. I pray for those here that are ill. I pray for those here that are poorly. I give thanks, Lord, that you've been with Jill Reeves in her hospital, that her palpitations have eased and that she's back in a bed. I pray, Lord, that you get the right bed for her in the right hospital, which is what she's now waiting for. I thank you for Ollie, who stands with us today, and I just pray that you're with him and his medical condition, and also his family, as his wife is also poorly. I pray for each and every person in here that has an ache, a pain, a heartache, a brain ache, those with so much on that they need you, Lord, to minister to them. I pray now, Lord, that each and every one of us just call out to you. Call out loud if you feel brave enough, in your head if you want to. But just call out to the Lord now in whichever way you're led to. And Lord, I pray that you come and minister to each of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please have a seat. Notices this morning. Continuing on the theme of Jan's quite amazing funeral on Wednesday, if you're able to be here. But there was a book of memories that was here. If anyone didn't get the opportunity to sign on Wednesday, or indeed wasn't able to be here on Wednesday and would like the opportunity, it will be just here. And there is a pen. Please take the opportunity at the end of the day if you can. I don't have any other notices. Have I missed anything? No. Wow. Okay. So I have a not Martin's Bible verse, which is going to be read later. But I would like to talk about something this morning. But I just need to get a little something out first. Just need to put those there.
Would you like me to hold that?
No. I definitely would not. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 say, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others beyond yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." And I'd like to read that out of a children's Bible, because I don't know if anyone else does this, but when I find something a little bit too complicated for my little brain, I do get the children's Bible out, and it's really easy on these phones because you can just flick it over. But that same verse in the children's Bible says, "When you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and give more honour to others than yourselves. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. So, do I have any young people that would like to come and help me? Young people, come out. Just come out. Come here. Come here. Right, I need to come in front of you. You stand that way. Now, I've got something that I would like you to give. I'd like you to share with someone. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I've got some things that you can share with the people. Anyone excited?
Yes.
Good. So, this is going to go well then. So, I've got something. Are you all right to share something? So, I want you to find someone, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four people, and I want you to give them something. Okay? Ready? Okay, here's what I'd like you to give. They're all on here. There's no deep, meaningful, biblical, theological meaning to this. However, I'd like you to give everyone that you can find a Bible verse. Is that all right? Just take one. Then go and give it to anyone random. And then go and get another one. You'd like a chocolate? Thanks. Keep going. Just take one. And some more. Oh, thank you. Tell me when you're finished. Have you finished yet? How was your chocolate? Was it really nice? I like the ones that are full chocolate. I don't like the ones with squidgy stuff in the middle. You got crispy bits. Was yours nice? Lovely. Yeah, lovely. Okay. And lots of, excuse me, talking my mouth, but have lots of people got the Bible verses?
Yeah.
Well, okay, probably done enough then, haven't we? Thank you so much, children, you've done an amazing job. Well done. Shall we give them all a round of applause? Thanks, go and sit down. Parents, you need to be very proud. Not one of them grumbled and complained at me. Children, come back again. Come back again. Come back again. Excuse me, definitely ate too much. Are you a bit disappointed?
No.
Be honest, you can be honest. Were you all a little bit disappointed?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what actually happened there? You were sharing Bible verses. You were sharing God's word with someone else, weren't you? Fabulous. But did you not want a chocolate?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to get one in a minute. Don't worry, okay? I'm not going to drag this out much longer. You are going to get one. In fact, there you go.
Yes.
Oh, choose one. Take one, but don't go away just yet. That's my effort not letting anyone cry. But God's word is easy to share, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, I just shared it really easily. And I think as people, as humans, most people in my life know that I'm a Christian. And I share that a little bit. I'm not the greatest at sharing the best bit. I'm not the greatest at sharing all the wonderful central bits of God's word and encouraging people. So now, can you just go and share chocolates with people? To do exactly the same again. So they've got a Bible verse. Don't let Martin... I did that far too close to Martin, didn't I? Someone guard Martin. Philippians 2, 3-4, just to remind you, says, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Be humble and give more honour to others than yourself. Do not be interested in only your own life, but interested in the lives of others. And I feel it's very easy sometimes to share the fact that you're a Christian, but it's stepping out of a comfort zone when you've given them all out. Go and sit yourself back down. Thank you very much. You did get one all, didn't you?
Yeah.
Good. That means my spares I can eat later. It's very easy to share that you're a Christian, but is it easy to do this? Is it easy to tell someone that you think needs to know Christ and then to actually do something about it? The words are a bit small, so don't worry. But we're running an alpha course here again. And I want you to think of not the easy thing just to give out, and not the easy thing, which we've got. We've got. So we're going to have lots of these around. So if you think of someone that might need one of these or might welcome one of these, whether it's yourself or whether it's someone that you know, it's more than just giving someone a flyer. The sweet bit, the best bit, the bit that has the impact, the bit that makes people smile, the bit that's really nice, and the powerful bit is when you have the conversation with that person about Alpha. Because it's the personal relationship that you have with someone that might encourage them to come along to Alpha. We're starting, it's after the half-term break, even I've got to check the date, 23rd of February, and slightly more difficult message to hear, but I don't really want many people in this congregation to come. Please don't be offended, okay? Sometimes with an Alpha group, we have a lot of people that really want to do an Alpha, but that already know Christ and already know him quite well. And actually, Alpha is designed for those that are either new to knowing Christ, are thinking about whether they should know Christ and are asking questions, or the third category, people that will only come if they come with someone they know. So I'm not saying anyone in here cannot come to Alpha, but what I'm really looking for this time on this Alpha run is, do you know anyone that will come? Do you know anyone that you think needs to know Alpha? Needs to know Alpha? No, they don't need to know Alpha. They need to know Christ. And then have that conversation with them. So if you want to do Alpha, unless you're really new to knowing Christ, or you've really got a lot of questions, then I might respectfully say no. So if Gareth comes and asks me, I'm pretty confident that Gareth would get a lot out of Alpha. He would. Anyone would. I love doing it. I've done it about 12 times now, I think, and I get something out of it every time. But actually, it's designed for those people that are asking questions, designed for those people that are wanting to know Christ or wanting to are having a difficult time in their faith and want some key questions asked. So I just want you to spend a couple of minutes now praying. I want you to spend a couple of minutes praying for God to put someone on your heart, or more than one person. So just do that now. A couple of minutes. Just pray for God to come into your heart. Lord, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit. Come upon this congregation now. Guide us in your ministry. Guide us with a name. Guide us with somewhere to put a flyer. Guide us, Lord. Guide us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Continue to guide us through the week. Continue to help us to know who and how we can continue with our mission to know Jesus and to make him known. Amen. Okay, so that's my challenge to you this week. We have a few, so if you know anyone that you think right now, yes, I need one of those to take away and I will make sure that they have got the details, and then have that conversation with them about what it is all about or where they can find more information. There is my phone number will be available. It will be showing so that you can see who they can phone, or El Martin or any of the elders here, any of the, you know, anybody here. Just have that conversation with them. Why should you come to Alpha? Why should you want to know Jesus? But there'll be more. There's a few today. There will be more as of next week. So please, they'll be around. They'll be available. Just be guided in God's work. We're going to have just a quiet time of reflection of general with some music now, which will then lead into two further songs of worship. At the end of the second song of worship, This Is Amazing Grace, the young people are going to go out with Ellen, who is there. We're going to go out with Ellen to the back. But just take this opportunity now to continue your prayers with God around Alpha, but also to continue your prayers with God about what's happened in your week, what's happening in your week coming forward, and just spend a few minutes with Christ now. come to worship you through song again, I pray we take on board the words of the song, the words of our worship to you, and that we trust in you, Lord. We trust in you. Please stand and join me as we sing, I will trust in you.
I will trust.
amazing, Lord. We worship. We worship you. You are an amazing, amazing God. I pray now, as Ellen leads all the young people out, that they would go and learn of you, Lord. Just choose a child. The Lord knows who you're talking about. Pray for them as they walk before you. As children, go out now. Choose a child. Look at them. The Lord knows who you're praying for. Mark, if he can work his way out, there he is, I knew he was here, is going to give us our reading today, which comes from Luke. No, it doesn't, it comes from John, but I'm sure Mark will tell us hopefully the right verse.
Well, I'm hoping that the reading is supposed to be from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he can't enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," Jesus said, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life."
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Steve, for leading us. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
So we're continuing today in our series of the truly, truly, or very truly, I tell you, or I tell you the truth, sayings of Jesus, depending on which translation we happen to be reading at the particular point in time. That's you, isn't it? Yeah. Sadly, it's an empty box. And these are all rubbish as well.
No.
Do you know, you look just like one of your kids at school would have looked then if they were asked that question. I can't go truly, truly, I tell you, this is your box of chocolates. Yeah, you left one. Yeah, thank you very much. Very nice. Can I carry on now? Excellent. Good. So yeah, I mean, I've taken the title of this series as Truly, Truly, I Say to You. So I do need to keep that in mind as we go through, because what we're talking about is you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Jesus being the truth sometimes emphasizes that by saying, "I tell you the truth," or "very truly I tell you," or "truly, truly I tell you." So we're going to carry on with that today. Before we do, I'd just like to share something with you. I'm born again. I feel free. No longer alone. It's a quite different me. I've been blessed with a love that's meant for the rest of my time. Since love touched my heart right, my life has a meaning. I feel I'm no longer drifting in space. I believe once again that there's a tomorrow, a brand new tomorrow, I know I can face. A bright light is shining and shows me a world that I own. I can see my way through. I know I will walk beside you. All those prayers of mine weren't in vain. I'm born again. It's a pretty good testimony, that, isn't it? Yeah, you could see someone standing up here on the day they get baptized as a believer and saying that sort of thing to us as a congregation. Does anyone know where that testimony comes from? Apart from you, Mark. Go on, Mark. No, it's not mine.
Is it a Boney M song?
It is a Boney M song. Well done. Yes. A Boney M song released in 1979. And it's the testimony of the lead singer, Liz Mitchell. Made it into the charts, number 7 in Germany and 35 in the UK. And just in case you haven't heard it or forgotten, we're going to have a little clip of it.
I'm born again, I feel free, no longer alone. A bright light is shining and shows me a world that I own. I can see my way through. I know I will walk beside you. All of those prayers of mine weren't in vain. I'm born again.
Now, it would have been really self-indulgent of me to have played all of that because I love that song. And I was a big Boney M fan back in the day. And actually, the day that I became a Christian, that was the first song that I sang coming out of the meeting because I didn't know any Christian songs particularly. So that really meant a lot to me coming out of there. Now, why have I done that? Well, hopefully, if you were paying attention in the passage as Mark read it, we hear Jesus twice saying, we need to be born again. Truly, truly, I tell you, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And then slightly differently, a little bit later on, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. So this thing about being born again is important to Jesus. So if it's important to him, it's important to us. And we know that if the Bible repeats anything, we need to pay attention. And if Jesus gives it the truly, truly treatment, that means it's extremely important that we take hold of and understand what it is that he's saying. And the paradox here is that Nicodemus, one of the foremost religious teachers and students of Scripture in all Jerusalem, didn't fully grasp what Jesus was talking about. And sadly, many people today still don't, including some who would come regularly to church, might even call themselves Christian. Now, in spite of what Nicodemus thinks, Jesus is not talking about going back inside our mother's womb and being physically born again, because that is simply impossible. And just for a moment, if it were possible, anyone whose mother had died would be excluded from the kingdom of heaven through no fault of their own, because mum's not around to go back in. No, what Jesus is saying here is that if we want to see the kingdom of heaven, if we want to be part of God's family, his eternal community, we need a second birth, but one that is spiritual in nature, not physical. Ultimately, there is only one type of Christian. That is someone who's been born again. You might hear people say, I'm this type of Christian, or I'm that type of Christian, or whatever. But actually, according to Jesus, there's only one type of Christian. And if you call someone a born-again Christian, it's a bit like saying, I'm an English Englishman. Because it says the same thing twice. But we'll go with it for today, because Jesus is saying here that we need to be born again. So what does it mean? Think back to the song. It means that somehow there's a new freedom. That's good. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's a new sense of belonging, a new sense of meaning and of hope in our lives. In fact, more than that, it says there's a quite different me. Because when we're born again, the changes aren't simply external, situational changes. They're internal, transformational changes. Is that me? That was clever. I wasn't even touching it. So not outside situational changes, but internal, transformational changes. Being born again gives us a new life. A new life with new values, with new standards, with new understanding, with new loyalties, with new attitudes to other people. Attitudes that we see in Jesus. Loving our neighbour. Welcoming the stranger. Caring for those weaker than ourselves. Speaking up for truth and justice, that sort of stuff. And all these things, the internal change, and it's really important that we get hold of this, the internal change leads to the external change of situation, not the other way around. All these things become ours when we recognize and accept that Jesus is the truth, that he is the way to know God and be known by God, and that through him and him alone, can we receive forgiveness for our sins and entry into God's kingdom? And it's not something you or I can make happen. It's not something we can achieve by our own efforts. It's not even something we can have simply because we were born into a particular family or nation. You see, Nicodemus thought that because he was a Jew, he was okay with God. But Jesus said, being a Jew isn't enough. You need to be born again. For a long time in this country, people thought if you were born English, that made you Christian. If you were born in this country. But that's not enough, says Jesus. It's not enough to be English or Irish or Scottish or Welsh or Nigerian or Ghanaian or from the Caribbean or from Scotland. Or for anywhere else, the important thing is that you need to be born again. I was getting looks from over there because I didn't mention Scotland, wasn't I? Did I mention it twice? See, you put me off. I thought, why are they looking at me? I've missed out Gareth and Doug and those other people from that funny land up north. It doesn't matter where you come from, is the point I'm trying to make. That's not what makes you a Christian. What makes you a Christian, said Jesus, is being born again. Just a few weeks ago, we had Joel and Ewan testifying to their faith in Jesus. They were brought up in Christian families. Ewan's dad is an elder in the church, deeply spiritual man. You're supposed to respect the elders, you lot. Joel's mum is one of our deacons and members of staff. His dad plays in the band. But that doesn't make them a Christian. What makes them a Christian is recognizing that Jesus is the truth and bowing the knee before Jesus and asking Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. Being born again is when we respond to something that God is doing in our life, something that God is stirring up in our life, making us see that we need the love of Jesus in our life, and us then saying in response to God's invitation, yes, I believe. Now, the word used here that we translate again, just showing off a bit of Greek here, which I found in an article, I didn't know this. I probably did 30 years ago, but forgotten. The Greek word here, anothen, not only does it mean again, but it can also mean from above. So Jesus is saying, you need to be born again, you need to be born from above. It's God's initiative. It's nothing I can do. I can't get to know God's love by obeying all the laws of my land. I don't think anybody has ever actually managed to obey all the laws of their land. And what about a land where the laws are anti-God? It's not about that. It's about being born from above. It's the same thing we read in John 1. We're speaking about Jesus, the light of the world. John says, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's the passage where it talks about Jesus, the Word, coming down and making his home in our neighborhood. Jesus comes to us, we recognize him in our situation, in a relationship or whatever's going on, and then we choose to follow him. It's God's initiative, and it's God's gift expressed in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. And we're born again, or born from above, when we receive Jesus, when we believe him and place our lives in his care and commit to living the way he wants us to live. Verse 5 builds on this when it talks about being born by water and the Spirit. Clear references to being baptized as a believer. When we're baptized as a believer, it's a baptism of repentance. It's showing that we've repented of our sins and that we have been cleansed of our sins through our faith in Jesus. The problem is most people today will think, well, I've never repented, so why should I repent? No? I thought that was quite funny. Never mind. Tough crowd. And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which enables us to live a Christ-centered life. So again, it's God's initiative. God comes to you and he comes to me and says, here I am, I'm what you need. Here's what I've done for you in my Son, who died for you, who rose again, and who offers you eternal life. All you have to do is say, yes, please, forgive me, cleanse me, help me start again. And then God initiative again, and in fact the Holy Spirit is involved in all of this. The Bible makes it very clear, it's the Holy Spirit who's responsible for those kind of stirrings that we get in our heart, in our conscience, those so-called coincidences as we keep bumping into committed Christians, those so-called strange things that happen when we do start to pray, those odd occurrences. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, drawing us to him, but it has to be that way, drawing us. He can't push us to him. It's the old image that I've talked about many times in funeral services of the Lord, my shepherd. The shepherd of today chases us towards somewhere, doesn't he, with his dogs. or whatever he uses. The shepherd of the biblical time used to draw the sheep to him by going in front and by spending time with him. And the Holy Spirit draws us through circumstances and other things to hear that invitation from God that says, and you put your name in here. Put your name in here as I say this. So whatever your name is, I love you. I made you. And I want you to know my love and the freedom that comes from knowing my love. And all you have to do to receive that is to be born again. To be born from above. Now, for some people, that's really dramatic. A bit like, you know, you're struck when you see the person that you know you're going to spend the rest of your life with. And it's like a boom moment. And you fall in love straight away. You're struck. See that perhaps more often in Hollywood than anywhere else. But, you know, never mind. For other people, it's a kind of a gradual process as we come to an understanding of what this means about. There's no one set way to be born again. The thing is, what happens when we are born again and why we're born again? Because we're putting our trust in Jesus who died for us and who rose again. Leon Morris, a writer on John's Gospel, says, "We enter a completely new existence by virtue of what the Holy Spirit does in us. So thoroughly are we remade that the process can be described as being born all over again, a spiritual rebirth." Jesus is referring to the power of God to remake people. To quote another later song that was popular in the charts, you got to have faith. Trust in God. Receive the salvation he offers and allow him to transform our lives by walking in step with his Spirit and obedience to his word. So here's the first question this morning. Have you been born again? Have you bowed the knee to Jesus and put your life into his hands? Are you seeking to live the way that Jesus wants us to live and teaches us to live, the way of freedom, or are you still resisting committing yourself to him? Jesus says, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, if you want to know God's love for yourself, you need to be born again. And then there's a third, truly, truly, very truly, or I tell you the truth, in this short passage. And this one establishes Jesus' identity and his authority to say what he says. Nicodemus thought he was the one with authority. He was a prominent religious teacher. He was a member of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin. He was a senior Pharisee. And so he's a little bit condescending to Jesus, it seems, at the start. But in verse 11 of this passage, Jesus declares his authority is greater. "Truly, truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we have seen." Jesus is saying, everything I'm telling you about, I've seen it, I know it. I've experienced it, if you like. Most of those of us who teach Scripture, we have some understanding, we have some authority, but we don't have the same authority that Jesus has. Jesus says, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. "I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." You see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, yes, Nicodemus, you're a really important Pharisee, but I come from heaven. I come from the place that you might be talking about or you might be teaching about, and you haven't seen it yet, but I have seen it. That's where I've come from, and I have the authority to talk about what happens about in heaven and about how to get to a relationship with God in heaven. In the words of Matthew 7, Jesus taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And one of the wonderful things that's happened because of Jesus is he gives us his authority. He shares his authority with us when we're born again, so that we can speak not as a teacher of the law, but with authority. And then he goes on, he explains how it's possible for us to be born again. And it starts through faith in his being raised up on the cross. And on the cross, he brings healing and freedom from our sins and sicknesses. Just as in the desert, and you can look this up in the Exodus passages, Moses raised up a bronze snake for people to look at because they were being plagued by poisonous snakes at the time. And Moses cried out to God, and God said, fashion a bronze snake, lift it up high, and when the people look at it, they will be healed. And Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake, so too must Jesus be lifted up for us to receive healing and freedom and forgiveness. Lifted up on the cross. And then lifted up into glory after his resurrection. Jesus makes an outrageous claim here to religious truth. Jesus says that he is the only one who provides access to God. Nobody else can do that. Anybody else who says to you, I can provide you a relationship with God and forgiveness for your sins, is a liar. Only Jesus is the truth. Only Jesus is the one who can provide that for us. And as he does that, as we respond to his offer, he moves us from death to life, from darkness to light, from captivity to freedom, so that we can know and say we are free, that we are quite different people. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. Jesus took my sins on the cross so that I didn't have to pay the penalty for them. Jesus bore that penalty, and that penalty was death. And so Jesus died for me. And then on the third day, he rose. I love that bit of the story. It's really good, isn't it? Because if we think someone dies for us but they stay dead, that doesn't really achieve much apart from prolonging our own physical life. But Jesus rising from the dead opens up so much grace and love and mercy and forgiveness and meaning and purpose and joy, freedom. And when we accept his gift, we are born again. And we are made into different people. And then the rest of our lives are spent learning what that actually means. Paul calls it sanctification. And sanctification is about how we live our lives becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Truly, truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify of what we've seen. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Our choice, and God always gives us a choice. God never forces his love on us. He never forces himself on us. Our choice is to accept that what Jesus has done is for us personally, and to commit our lives to him to allow him to take up residence in our lives by his Spirit. And to follow him for the rest of our days. One person describes it as a knight approaching the king at his throne, and the knight kneeling down, laying his sword at the king's feet, saying, "I pledge allegiance, fealty, loyalty, service to you, your majesty." I just wonder if there's anyone here today that God is saying, today is the day you need to do that. Today is the day you need to bow the knee and make Jesus the reason and the purpose in your life. It will mean stepping out of a comfort zone, but we step out into a comfort zone knowing Jesus is there, inviting us to follow him. Another person describes it as giving our heart to Jesus. And we sing that, don't we? Lord, you have my heart and I will search for yours. Both descriptions are perfectly adequate for what we're talking about here. And it might be the language of giving your heart to Jesus is something that helps you more than bowing the knee in fealty, but they both mean the same thing. They both mean we're saying yes to Jesus, we're giving our lives to him, and being born from above. What is God saying to you this morning about where you stand before him? Let's be quiet and reflect for a moment, then I'll lead us in a prayer. And then we'll sing our final song. Jesus, we believe that you are the truth. We believe that you speak the truth. And we believe that what you say here is truth, that we need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Thank you that this is your gift to us, and that all you ask us to do is to believe in you, to bow the knee, to give you our heart, to look to you to be healed of our sin and our guilt. So first thing we pray, Jesus, and maybe for the very first time, I want to be born again. I commit to following you, to getting to know you, to living in your love and your forgiveness. Thank you that you have made a way for me to know God as my Father, and for a way for me to be free. I place my life, my very heart in your hands, and I promise you my loyalty and my obedience for the rest of my life. And as I do that, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I am aware of your presence within me, that you would change me into a quite different me, to the best me I can be, because of your power and your love. I choose freedom. I choose life. I choose you, Jesus. Amen. Now, there's just a couple of things I'd like to ask you to do. If that's the first time you've ever prayed a prayer like that, please come and talk to one of our prayer team down the front at the end of the service to let them know that you've done that, and they can help you take your first steps as a Christian, as a baby Christian. And we all know that babies need help in finding the right way to feed and to behave and everything else. So please do that, or talk to someone that you've come with that you know is a Christian, or any of us who are at the front. And then if you have made that decision, but you've not yet gone through the water of baptism, Jesus talks about the need for us to be born with water and the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you've not been baptized as a believer, come and talk to me. I can help you sort that out. And then just as a final thing, not really a final thing, it's one of the more important things, but we need to be filled with his Holy Spirit so that we know that we belong to him, so that we know that we're living for him, so that we know that the freedom that he promises. So I just want to encourage everybody just to be really open and ask God daily to fill you with his Holy Spirit, to enable you to live the way he wants you to live. Our closing song, we sang it last week, we're singing it again this week. It's a song of response, of commitment. Of dedication and of loyalty to him. If you are able to, please stand and let's sing this together.
Oh, May we go from this place knowing that we are born again. May we go from this place knowing we are forgiven and we are free. And may we go from this place with a song on our hearts and joy in our souls, because we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. May God bless you and keep you. May he fill you with his love and his spirit and his power. May you know his presence each and every day of your lives. Amen.